It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to your favorite television, podcast, YouTube program on the latest and greatest in data breach and overreach. And this is Access of Easy number 358. My name is Joey. That's Len. Buddy, what's going on? How the heck are you?
Yeah, just busy with work. It's now the end of my week, which is wonderful. So I can enjoy it. Yeah, it's a long weekend. And you have a longer weekend.
Same thing. No, yeah.
I'll be working for a few extended days. So enjoy it, Joey.
I'm hyped, man. I never do this kind of stuff anymore because I am so busy with like football and work and other commitments I have on weekends. You and me obviously record Monday nights, so I try not to miss too many Monday nights if I don't have to. And so this one, yeah, just, you know, I'll tell you, enjoy it. I will for sure. I'll have a couple of cold ones on the dock and relax by the fire and listen to some tunes and solve the world's problems like everyone does when they're camping. So hyped on that. Let's get into it, Len. Last week's quote: governments tend not to solve problems, only to rearrange them. God, ain't that the truth? Ronald Reagan said that. I think this fella's name is Ian, E-A-N, though I could be wrong. Is it Ian? Or maybe there's a spelling mistake and it's Dean or Sean. I don't know. But if you won and your name is E-A-N, congratulations. This week's quote: nothing can stop the man with the right mental attitude from achieving his goal. Nothing on earth can help the man with the wrong mental attitude. It was actually me who said that several years ago.
I thought it was Bruce Lee.
If you know who else said it, put it in the comments. No Googling, no looking stuff up if you win and you're the first person to get it right, because sometimes there's multiple winners or there are multiple winners. You will get your next domain hosting renewal on EasyDNS free of charge. Len, we got a couple stories here. Holy Trinity. We got some crypto. We got some Microsoft. I mean, this is really Hall of Fame stuff here. These are a lot of frequent flyers on this program.
Well, the crypto, we're not going to tie it to any one particular company, right? It's just a generic story where...
It's like, come on, these guys, everyone wants...
That is what it is. I mean, well, apparently theft in this field, it's seen a huge rise in 2024. And this is according to a report by TRM Labs. And the total value of all these digital assets have doubled compared to the previous year. And this number is quite high. So hackers, they're targeting what they call DeFi, decentralized finance platforms. They're not really decentralized, but that's the name. It is 100%. Well, they're exploiting vulnerabilities in what they call smart contracts and other security loopholes. And often these result in huge financial losses for both the platform and the users. And they're also making use of social engineering scams and phishing attacks as a way to aim for these crypto investors. It's like shooting fish in a barrel, Joey. I think that's the best way to say it. Fraudsters are employing sophisticated tactics, and this is a way to deceive victims into handing over their digital assets. So all this means to be said, like, let's be honest. A lot of this, as you mentioned, is a scam.
Yes.
Look into what Bitcoin is all about. I don't want to make this a Bitcoin story or Bitcoin show, but to take a look at that. If you think it's a scam, that's your choice. Unfortunately, I don't think it is. You don't think it is as well, Joey. But the reality is, with a lot of these digital tokens, specifically Bitcoin, you can control your outcome. You can control your financial future. You can take away a lot of attack vectors if you do the proper things. There's ways to do it. If anybody needs any help, reach out to me. I'll be happy to show it to you with Bitcoin. Anything else, I have no clue. So you're on your own there. So a lot of people are getting wrecked in this. It's just because they're deploying crappy tactics, they're in crappy projects, or they're dealing with crappy platforms, or probably a few other things as well. So do yourself a favor. If you are in this, research Bitcoin, learn Bitcoin, and properly store Bitcoin. If you do that, you are much safer. You're not going to be part of this statistic of people that got their stuff stolen from them.
God, you never want to be a statistic. You know what my biggest concern is with stuff like this? When stories like this, I mean, InfoSecurity Magazine is not a mainstream pub, at least not in my world. My biggest concern is that this is going to lend itself to more KYC, AML, and other, you know, tight identification regs and rules and laws that are really going to neuter the growth of the space in the United States, Canada, and other places where you really want to see that growth take place. We are so good at protecting the customer instead of doing all the things we should be doing, you know? And we talked about this before, how like the average person is kind of getting dumber, I think. I don't think there's any really debate about that at this stage of the game. And so you're constantly, you know, sort of, you're always going to be parrying these attacks on your competence because the lowest common denominator just can't figure the easy stuff out. And so they're responding to, like you mentioned, their phishing scams and probably romance scams and any number of other scams and stuff like that. But like, what's the end game, Len? It's you and me got to provide more information. You and me got to be less private. You and me got to be out there more with our data. And how does that turn out every single time? Well, you know, you wind up on this program, you wind up in the headlines, and it's not going to be any different here. So I am concerned about these stories. I dare say, Len, that we may see some that are false flags coming up in the not too distant future. Big heists involving big exchanges that lead to big changes in KYC AML laws. I don't think that's a bridge too far.
Let them do it. There's always going to be ways to get KYC free. There's no way to stop that with decentralized platforms. And good luck. Let's move on, because there's a sophisticated and persistent cyber attack campaign that's targeting web developers. As malicious actors that are behind this campaign, they've been distributing what is called Trojanized versions of the widely used jQuery library. And the attackers have employed a full approach here to distribute compromised jQuery packages. And this includes using fake accounts, hijacking legitimate accounts, and even compromising NPM's infrastructure. What's NPM? It's a package manager for the JavaScript programming language that's maintained by NPM. And this is a subsidiary of GitHub. And this is a default package manager for the JavaScript runtime environment. So either way, that's what it is. So the Trojanized packages, they've been disguised. They've been designed to steal sensitive information, including API keys, credentials, and other valuable data. And the campaign has been active for an extended period of time. This isn't just a couple of days. And there's a real challenge here to try in securing open source software ecosystems, because the attackers, they have shown some high level of sophistication, and it's making it difficult to disrupt their operations. And so this incident just shows that these guys, they mean business, and it's causing real problems for the open source components out there. So developers and organizers, they're really advised, strongly advised, to carefully vet third-party libraries and dependencies. And this will help mitigate some of the attacks, but not all of them, but at least this is one good privacy tactic people should do. So everybody should do this, not just developers and organizations, but even the users themselves too. But that's a topic for another time. But yeah, there we go. This thing is going out there. But Java, like anytime I hear the word Java, that's always been a security risk. There's always been holes with that. And it seems to be like doing, at least my opinion, it's been kind of shelved for the most part for the past little while. We don't use a lot of Java stuff these days, but
pretty rare. I know. Pretty rare. One other thing I want to mention here, and I'll be honest, I had to look up some of the stuff in the article because I just don't understand a ton of it. And one of the things I came upon or, you know, found in my sort of brief research is something called a lock. There's like a lock you can use so that when you're going through your project, you're always installing the same, like you're always using the same libraries. So you're not getting malicious, I guess, updates or malware or poor code. It's funny. The code thing is a weird one for me. Like there's always these pictures of the, you know, code shells that people use and in the articles that we cover on the show. Oftentimes they're kind of these pretty little, I don't know what to call them, like text windows. Actually, these make great phone wallpapers. I'll be honest. I have a few always in the queue there. They really are nice and colorful with the black background. But the thing that I want to point out is, you know, there was a bug in the Ledger software on the Bitcoin side, I think like a year ago. Do you remember this? I don't remember exactly what the nature of the bug was, but I was listening to your favorite guy, Peter McCormick, today talking to the Ledger guys about some of the stuff going on in their camp. And McCormick pointed out there was a significant problem. Maybe it was like something to do with the Shopify data. I forget exactly, but there was a problem with something Ledger had affiliated with the device. And you know, the technical guy on the podcast pointed out that it was a small mistake. And McCormick kind of shot up and said, "What do you mean small mistake? Like it costs a lot of people their data, blah, blah, blah." And the guy goes, "No, what I really mean by small mistake is like small on the screen. It's like one piece of one line of code." And the idea that like again, we talked about this a lot. You're a big open source guy. The idea that you and me have to review the code, the source code for stuff that we're using, isn't that a bridge too far in a lot of cases, especially with something like Java that just doesn't have the same number of eyes on the dev side that it, that like you would see in other coding languages? I don't understand why anyone will be using this stuff if the sort of end responsibility falls to the user to verify some stuff that normally someone more competent would be verifying. You know what I mean? Doesn't it seem like you try and stay away from that, to your point about this language and whatnot having been shelved now for the most part for a few years?
Well, it's the users that do it. And collectively, you would expect them to find something if something does look to be problematic, and they would alert the developers and they would provide a patch, or the developers would patch it themselves. So that's, again, open source, its strongest link, it's also its weakest link too, because it's all available. Everybody can see it, but everybody can see it, which is good too. So they could find a problem, they could exploit the problem, but they could fix the problem at the same time.
Yeah.
So
it's just crazy that, yeah, that Java is still being used. I just quickly here typed in, why do people still use Java? And most of the posts are from 8 years ago. So to give you an idea of just how old this is like a primary programming language. Pretty old.
Well, just even an add-on or a plugin for
internet browsers.
Website.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, I don't see this too often, but just want to double back to, if there was a problem with Ledger, why does the guy still even have them pay?
Oh God.
You know what I mean? Like, come on.
Right? What can I say? Let's not talk about it on this show. Save it for Monday.
Well, it'll be different.
We can start our own content ecosystem. Like, if we give a hot take here, we can then talk about the hot take on Monday's show and just keep going around and around. We never have to do any research. We're just talking. It's the ESPN model now. I think it's a good idea. We should talk about this off the air.
Europol, you know, that's the European Union's law enforcement agency. They're proposing a controversial measure. This is aimed at enhancing its investigative capabilities. Now, this sounds all good and dandy, but until you dive into it, because the agency is seeking to weaken encryption protocols used for mobile roaming devices across the EU. And the rationale behind this proposal is the belief that encrypted communications hinder law enforcement ability to intercept and analyze data relevant to criminal investigations. Okay. They also argue that by compromising the encryption on mobile networks, they can gain access to crucial information that could aid in preventing and solving crimes. All right, okay, that's all good. But then what else could it be used for? That's the problem. Because people out there that have privacy concerns, well, they're saying that this is a bridge too far if you're trying to build it here. So weakening encryption, it could be a dangerous precedent, because then you're giving them the ability to look at just about anybody's. So why would you even want to use something like Signal when they have the ability to get into Signal? So it makes no sense to even use it. So I'm looking at this, I can understand the rationale, but the problem I have, and a lot of people have too, is how this information, how this power, this tool is going to be used. And if it's going to be used in a way that's just not beneficial for the end user. This is just
very,
because
very,
I have
very generous of you to put an if in front of that, as if there's any doubt how this is going to be used and what it's going to do to the end user experience.
There's no guarantee. That's what I'm trying to say. If you draw out this the playbook here, there's a potential it may not be used in that particular incident. But in either way, the fact that I use Signal, or you use Signal, or anybody uses Signal, doesn't mean we're criminals. Now, the fact that we use it doesn't mean we have to have. We've give up our privacy just because other people, they're doing using Signal as well. I don't do a better job. That's all I gotta say. Like, Signal it's not gonna make things a lot easier. It may be slightly easier, but heck, it's not gonna be a game changer in the grand scheme of things. And what do we lose in the process? A heck of a lot.
There's a market, I think, starting to bud for high security personal devices. Be they laptops, tablets, televisions, smartphones, you name it. And, you know, I only say this because even before we started, you know, doing Access of Easy, and certainly before this week, I don't know about you. I watch a lot of tech reviews on YouTube. It's something I subscribe to, a lot of channels related to sort of, you know, new device reviews and software reviews and stuff like that. I kind of like watching that stuff in the background. It sort of makes me feel like I'm keeping current and always gives me FOMO when I'm, you know, out buying yet another iPhone every 2 years. But the thing that I started to notice maybe 6 or 7 months ago is that almost all these devices, even if they're sort of retail facing, we talked about the iPhone doing this, the new Galaxy S23 does this in their marketing, and there's devices that are geared entirely towards this. They're all talking about security. There's always a security portion of their presentation. The Apple keynotes have this now, both at WWDC and at the iPhone announcements and at the iOS update announcements, which they do usually late spring, early summer. They just did iOS 18 a few weeks ago. There's always this portion now. I think it's because people, even on the normie side of things, are starting to realize that protecting their data is the most important thing. And it gives me some hope, because that means, Len, that the average person is paying at least a little bit of attention to stuff like law enforcement abuses of power, government encroachment on your privacy, et cetera, et cetera. That's good. We want people paying attention to that stuff, because when the clamps come down a little too hard, you never want it to be the first touch point that the average person has with overreaching. And I think that we're going to get to a, you know, sort of a critical mass of people who say, nah, I don't think so. I'm not going to use XYZ program because the government now has their hands in that. I'm going to use this thing that I've been using. Maybe it's a device native thing, or a separate network based on a few devices or whatever. It's kind of a, you know, silver lining, let's say, on stories like this. Everyone is going to be talking about changes to terms of service that involve government backdoors and weakening of encryption. So I think that there's some hope in the soup here a little bit, at least in my view.
This one is funny, this Microsoft story, because I had a good laugh when I read it. So Microsoft sent out some email notifications to customers that were impacted by what was called a Midnight Blizzard attack. You know what? I like that name. That's
pretty good.
It's very Diablo-esque.
I was just about to say that. Yeah, it's like it feels like a late game skill you can learn or something.
I give it a 4 to 5. It's not
since we're doing this show so early on Thursday. Maybe I'll actually play some Diablo tonight if I have time. That would be nice.
Which number? Which version?
4 for sure. I bought 4 like a year ago and I never play it. But they just released a pretty good patch. I understand it's done a lot of balancing for the game, so I'll probably fire it up.
Do it and. Yeah, cast the Midnight Blizzard spell, because the Midnight Blizzard in this story was a significant cyber attack launched by a nation state actor. It's believed to be linked to Russia's SVR foreign intelligence unit. So that's what the people are believing the people behind it. The attack started in late November 2023, and it targeted Microsoft corporate email systems. So this cyber attack resulted in the theft of emails from high-ranking Microsoft executives, as well as employees within the cybersecurity and legal teams. And the stolen information was then leveraged by the attackers to gain unauthorized access to Microsoft source code repositories and internal systems. So Microsoft thought they were doing the right thing by informing customers. They did that, they sent out the email, but it kind of looked strange because they were criticized for the striking resemblance to spam or phishing emails. So people that received this email saying that, you know, there's this attack that's happened, this is what's going on, this is what we're doing. Well, people just deleted it or put it in spam or whatever. So anyways, security experts out there, they're expressing concerns that the design of the email and the content was not well laid out. The overall appearance, the subject line, the sender information, everything. It just, there were so many red flags that were raised from this, and it led the end user to lead to the legitimacy of the message. But either way, this is unfortunately a negatively designed and poorly implemented email. How they're going to go about this moving forward, I hope they learn from their lesson, draft a better email and better template. I don't know. But the fact that people were deleting this thinking it was spam, and they were just trying to inform people what happened, I found this to be really funny. So yeah, a good story altogether.
Written by ChatGPT. What do you think?
The initial one?
Yeah, the one that looks like phishing.
No.
You don't think?
No. Why do you think that?
I don't know.
Story?
The TechCrunch one here. It's saying that they had a breach or whatever, impacting customer data, didn't follow Microsoft 365 customer data breach process, blah, blah, blah. So there's a second notification basically that goes out, right? And it looks like a phishing email.
Oh, you thought the email was...
What do you think? Like, how does that happen? Think about the layers of bureaucracy that go into making sure something looks legit and they can't even do it. How does that happen? My instincts tell me that this is an AI problem. Honestly,
for the severity of it, I hope they're not just simply passing it off.
I don't know. I have no idea. But like, Len, this is the first we've covered a lot of Microsoft stories, but this is the first one like this. You know, like they're really slacking on the back end too. And where's the the offer of whatever data monitoring? I guess it doesn't matter because it's internal, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still funny. I would not be surprised if this was AI related. Quite frankly, do you use Outlook at work? Does your Outlook offer you AI suggestions when you write emails?
No,
I don't know if mine does or not. I know it does when I'm sorting stuff in my inbox, but I don't know if it does when I'm writing. I forget now.
I don't even recall it doing for sorting my inbox. It's everything is all old school. I have to manually put stuff, drag it here. Maybe mine is just an older system. I have no
clue. You got to update. You got to update your.
It's out of my control, man. It's out of my hands. If it wasn't me, I would have jettisoned Outlook a long time ago for something better.
See you later. Anyway, Microsoft. Good job by Microsoft yet again this week on Access of Easy.
Well, there's more Microsoft stuff because there's a cyber criminal known as 888. And what a crappy name. It's unoriginal.
Isn't that a nod to like Hitler's Germany? Triple Eights? I think it is. Let me look.
I had no idea that had any connection
German
to
significance. Let's see. Right. Oh, 88 is a hate symbol for Heil Hitler. God, we're just throwing away.
Is a hate symbol
this video. Apparently, according to the ADL. I mean, the ADL thinks everything's a hate symbol. So, but I think one is legit.
Just to clarify. So if I use 88, it means I hate the Heil Hitler thing, or I like that.
You like it maybe, or you're just cheering for Eric Lindros, one or the other.
That's what I was going to get at, right? Like Lindros, buddy. Maybe
is there anyone Patrick in the Kane? NHL numbered 88 right now?
Patrick Kane, I think. Is he? Am I wrong?
Is he?
I don't know.
I bet you there's no one in any of the major sports leagues wearing 88 right now.
Could be true.
I never even thought about that, but that's probably actually true.
Well, you know what? Just going really off topic here. NHL numbers are just going bonkers lately.
I see guys wearing 60s and stuff these days.
71. it's just high numbers were just, they weren't used a lot back in the day, but now everybody is in fashion. But whatever, either way. 888, this is a cyber criminal. Leaked personal information belonging to thousands of employees of both Microsoft and Nokia. Nokia? So the data, which was dumped on the notorious breach forums, it includes a treasure trove of information such as the names, full names, job titles, contact information, and even the addresses of these people. So the hacker claims that the data breach originated from a third-party contractor. This is implying that neither Microsoft nor Nokia's internal systems were directly compromised. But this doesn't make life any better for those who did have their data stolen and these affected employees. So with the access that is able to be gotten from all this, such as the detailed information, somebody like a malicious actor could really pose some problems, like targeted phishing, identity theft, or even social engineering scams. So this breach is rather significant because in total, it's almost 10,000 employees, 2,000-ish, from Microsoft and 7,200-ish from Nokia that were impacted. And this is both people based in the US and Finland. So that's it. But in terms of Nokia, how do they employ this many people?
What's going on in Nokia? What are they making?
I don't know. They made a remake of one of their old phones in the past 5 years. But how many people are you going to deployed?
Did you ever have a Nokia device?
Heck yeah, I had two or three of them, and yeah, it's still they all still work today. They just unfortunately the band is not covered anymore.
Yeah,
but yeah, they're solid devices. But what are they called? I forget the type of texting thing it's called.
T9.
That's it.
Predictive text. Yeah, I'm old enough to remember T9. My first phone was a Motorola 5550 or something like that. It was like a kind of a bulky flip phone. I had buddies, the guys in my high school who had eBay accounts all had Sony Ericssons. Those were sleek looking phones. That was before, as the Lindy man would say, it was before we got into this like refinement culture, narrowing of all devices, right? All computers look the same. All cameras look the same. All TVs look the same. And all phones look the same now too. But back then, man, there was some great variety in mobile devices. And I do have to admit, I kind of miss those days. I do kind of miss those days.
Yeah, yeah. I really enjoyed my Nokia, and I can still type on a T9 key without really thinking about it.
Same. I did it for so long. I did it for longer on those phones than I have. I've had an iPhone for probably 10 years, maybe. So maybe I did do it longer on an iPhone, but still, I could still do it for sure.
And it was so tiny, that phone. I absolutely love that. But either way, this story, feel bad for the people that were impacted by all this. We have no idea if they're going to get the free credit monitoring service from each Nokia or Microsoft. Maybe they'll get a free phone from Nokia that's 25 years old, or maybe Game Pass from Microsoft. Who the heck knows? But either way, it sucks for them. But this is essentially what's happened. And this information is now out there thanks to 888.
Yeah. Nokia right now, the main products are network infrastructure and cloud and network services. So there you go. I mean, what can you say about this? It's yet another example of, it's not directly network security, Len, but isn't it still kind of network security? Like, it's an internal actor. You don't know who's accessing these databases. I think if I ever tried to do this where I work or tried to do this anywhere else, they'd know right away. I remember even Zellers had mechanisms in place to know who was accessing certain files on like the rewards program side, because there was ways to like cook the books on rewards points. So they always knew who was looking at certain whatever files. That was on those computers that, you know, were probably manufactured in the 80s. I can just imagine that they'd have some similar functionality now if they wanted it. And I don't know, maybe they don't, I guess. I don't know. Seems like not a great thing if you're working on telecom security to not be able to pin down who breached your database like this. seems like something you'd maybe want to be able to do. No,
hope so. And you know, just to double back, you know who wears 88 are wide receivers.
Yeah, they used to. Demaryius Thomas wore 88, but I don't think there's any right now.
You gotta be kidding me. That was the de facto number for wide receivers that I remembered. Everybody that had an 8 was designated to be as a wide receiver.
I got to look it up. This is business on air here.
So they even reformed numbers in the NFL. Now people aren't conforming to the old style.
They can wear whatever they want now. Yeah, they can wear whatever they want.
Really? So back in the day, it was like offensive linemen were stuck to wearing like
60s and 70s, 50s maybe.
50s, yeah. Too, yeah. And so defensive line were 60s and 70s, I believe.
Yeah.
Linebackers were 40s, 50s, something like that.
Yeah. Now everyone's wearing everything. Our quarterback, the Redskins quarterback, Commanders quarterback, is wearing 5 this year. We have a receiver that wears 1. Who else? I don't know. There's a couple other weird ones in there. Linebackers who are wearing single digits. I personally like the single digit look on a jersey better, but you know, I never understood why they cared what people wore in the NFL. The NFL is a strange league when it comes to governance. Just another example of, like, in my opinion, a stupid set of rules that don't really make a difference to anybody, except the guy in charge gets to pat himself on the back for adding another line to the code book.
It was there for a long time, and that's the way I remember it to be. And it's unfortunate now. It's another thing that's gone in this world that I'm
it's unfortunate.
Man. It's really unfortunate.
Oh, God. Okay. That's it for today. Listen, if you need to get a hold of Len, give him time to respond. He'll be using T9. In the meantime, we'll see you next week. Take care of yourselves. Don't do anything we wouldn't do. And definitely make sure you enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, take care.